part of the Ion Radio Network.
Tonight on Unleashed, breaking news. There is mounting evidence to support that Trump University may actually not have been a legitimate educational institution. I know. I'm just as sarcastically pretending to be shocked as you all are. It's Tuesday, May 31st, 2016, a little bit after 11 p.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. From the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire, Matt Connerton Unleashed starts right now.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's that time again. Matt Connerton Unleashed, and we're live on this Tuesday evening. It's kind of unusual, actually, kind of a weird feeling to be live on the radio edition on the same day that I was live earlier on the television edition, but we have a bit of a new regimen here. So this week began the first week of the television edition being on Tuesdays instead of Wednesdays, and the television edition of Unleashed is now Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, and you can watch the show on IPM Nation. Also, too, if you're in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, which is where we broadcast from, you can also see the show on Comcast 23. But yeah, and I don't always bother to mention that because, you know, we live in an era where more and more people are cutting the cord, as they say, and just going online for their content. More and more people are using their mobile devices to access content. So sometimes I don't even really bother to mention it. But if you are in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, and I know that this is a market where we do have a lot of viewers and listeners, you can see the show there. But you can also see the show if you go to ipmnation.com/MCUTV. You can stream the show live there. And, of course, we have our links to our YouTube and our Vimeo channels where we do archive the shows. But what we were doing up until this week is, you know, I would do the television edition Wednesday afternoon. And then Wednesday night for the radio show, we would just play the audio from the television edition. But now I'm going live 5 nights a week. Right here on IPM Nation 2. And of course, Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we also have the honor and privilege of being on OTR FM, which is the premium channel on the Ohm Times Radio Network. But so now you get with that plus the television edition, now it's 6 hours a week of content in terms of Matt Connerton Unleashed. I'm just unleashing more and more of myself on all of you. Let's see. It was a very interesting television show, by the way, and we'll have it up on YouTube tomorrow, for the inaugural, Tuesday night live edition of the television edition. We had, United States Congressman Frank Ginta was there. Jen, who, handles most of the booking, for the show, certainly all the, political guests, she very impressively was able to get Congressman Ginta really kind of last minute. It was really just a couple hours before showtime, and she made a call, and he was able to make it, which was great. So when you watch the show, like I said, we'll have it up on YouTube tomorrow, but he got there about a little over halfway through the show because he had another event that he had to be at prior to that. But he was kind enough to swing by the studio afterward to join me for the second half of this week's Matt Connerton Unleashed television edition. You know, I've talked to a lot of political people and a lot of candidates, certainly, for Congress and the Senate on Unleashed. But Congressman Frank Inta, to this day, is the only sitting U.S. congressman to ever come on the show while currently in office. So so that's cool. You know, I certainly don't agree with him on everything. But you know, he seems like a nice guy. And I enjoyed our discussion. I thought it was a very, very constructive conversation. You know, I wish we had more time. It goes quick, but you know, you can check that out. Like I said, we'll have that up tomorrow. Let's see. Yeah. And he actually was on, once before, Jen was able to get him on the show for me. So very nice, very nice. So that is now Tuesday nights. And then of course, I come back to the Uptown Auto Repair Studio for the radio show, which is where we are now. We do broadcasts from here. And, of course we are powered by Ambit Energy. If you want to learn how to save on your energy bills, go to ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com and you could be on your way to free energy. And of course we are sponsored by the Mortgage Specialists at themortgagespecialists.com. And if you would like to participate in the program tonight, you can. We have an open phone line for you, 617-917-4IPM. It's IPM as in IPM Nation, 617-917-4476. You can call us or text us at that number. And we do have the chat room, of course, up at ipmnation.com/live2. You can also tweet me anytime at Matt Connerton or post on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page. Interesting story. We'll get to the Trump University stuff, I promise. But this is just a quick thing, and I did mention it on the TV show, but I wanted to read what was actually said. An interesting kind of sort of media story involving Trump indirectly. Glenn Beck has apparently been suspended by Sirius XM Radio, at least for this week. And who knows, maybe it'll end up being longer. This is from Politico. SiriusXM suspends Glenn Beck over Trump conversation. Listen to this. This is interesting. Satellite radio company SiriusXM has suspended Glenn Beck's syndicated show this week and is evaluating the program's place. That doesn't sound good. Over comments made last week by one of Beck's guests. Now, that's interesting. Now, keep that in mind for purposes of context. So it's not anything that Beck said. It's one of his guests, something that was said. But you'll understand in a moment, if you're not already familiar with the story, why Beck's reaction or lack thereof may have been a problem from the point of view of Sirius. Last week, fiction writer Brad Thor appeared on Beck's program and suggested GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump was a danger to America and that citizens would have to take means that may not be legal in order to get Trump out of office. Beck did not immediately admonish or distance himself from the comments, leading to the suspension by SiriusXM. Now, by the way, just to provide a little additional context, Glenn Beck, no fan of Donald Trump, does not like Donald Trump at all and is not a supporter. Okay. Here's some actual dialogue from this conversation. I'm sorry. This is the statement from SiriusXM rather. Let me read this first. It says, SiriusXM encourages diversity of discourse and opinion on our talk programs. However, comments recently made by a guest on the independently produced Glenn Beck program, in our judgment, may be reasonably construed by some to have been advocating harm against an individual currently running for office, which we cannot and will not condone. For that reason, we have suspended the Glenn Beck program from our Patriot channel for the coming week and are evaluating its place in our lineup going forward. SiriusXM is committed to a spirited, robust, yet responsible political conversation and believes this action reflects those values. So that was the statement from them. A spokesperson for Beck said the host had a previously scheduled vacation this week. Beck's slot was filled on the Patriot channel by David Webb on Tuesday. His slot on his own network's SiriusXM channel, The Blaze, was filled by Doc Thompson and Skip Lacombe. I don't know who those people are. Later on Wednesday, Thor told The Blaze host Dana Leash or Lesh or Loesch, I don't know how you say that, that there was no threat. Thor said, quote, hell no, I wasn't talking about assassination, unquote. Well, okay, so what was he saying then? I don't know any other way to take that, but, you know, it's one of those things. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Even though it's obvious that's what I meant, but I didn't mean that. And then there's an update here from 10:50 p.m. So this article was updated just 10 minutes before coming on the air tonight. It says, in a lengthy statement on Tuesday evening, Don Theodore, general manager of the Glenn Beck radio show, said Beck has never advocated for violence and that they are under the impression that Beck will be back on the air on Monday. Quote, Glenn is on vacation, so I wanted to respond on his behalf so that the unfortunate fabrications surrounding his interview with Brad Thor don't spread any further. As every listener of the show knows, Glenn has never and will never advocate violence. It wasn't long ago that he was criticized by some for advocating peace during the Bundy Ranch saga, unquote. Let's see. And then there's a little bit more. Well, we're already up against a break, but it's just more blah, blah, blah. There's no, nothing of real substance here. But it's interesting that, you know, so the Glenn Beck program officially seems to be taking the point of view that this is BS. They're not apologizing. They're kind of saying, you know, these are fabrications. Well, I mean, I think the audio speaks for itself, although I don't have the audio queued up, but I have no reason to believe that it doesn't contain what it's said to contain. But I don't know. Should Beck be held accountable for something a guest says? I don't know. Actually, I have an additional thought on that, but we'll come back to that after the break. Don't go away.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live on this Tuesday night. It's a hot one here in Manchester, New Hampshire. We've had some hot weather. I bet it's going to be the hottest summer on record. That would seem to fit the pattern. So I want to get to the Trump University thing, but I just have a quick thought regarding the Glenn Beck thing and him being suspended by Sirius over comments made by his guest. Now, obviously, again, the issue, you know, I mean, he can't be responsible for what a guest says on his show, but it would appear to be the lack of response from Glenn Beck, not saying, hey, I don't support any kind of violence. I would never encourage that and whatnot. And it occurs to me, someone that, you know, and reasonable people can agree or disagree about the fairness of that. Is Glenn Beck obligated in that situation to say that, to clarify that? Or maybe he didn't take it as a serious comment, and that's why he just let it go. Or maybe he knew exactly what he was doing, and he knew that this would generate some publicity and didn't think it would go as far as being suspended from Sirius for a week. Or maybe he thought it would generate some publicity and thought it was worth risking being suspended from Sirius for a week. I don't know. But and I don't know what the answer is as far as should he be responsible. I mean, I tend to think not, but here's the thing. He's been very critical of Donald Trump, as I have been, as have been many people. One of the things that I've been critical of Donald Trump for is when Trump when other people act, let me put it this way, when other people act sort of on Trump's behalf on some level, and he doesn't bother to speak up and say, I don't agree with that, and actually finds ways to subtly encourage the behavior. And I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. This is what I mean very specifically. You know, there's been these instances where at a Trump event, at a Trump rally, there will be protesters. And then you have a guy, maybe somebody there who gets, you know, kind of rough. Now, I don't, by the way, and just to be clear, I don't agree with disrupting an event. I mean, it's one thing to protest, but, you know, and you have a First Amendment right to protest, but that doesn't mean your First Amendment right. With that, you have the right to quash somebody else's First Amendment right to give a damn speech. So I understand why Trump supporters get upset when these protesters and hecklers infiltrate their event and make trouble. I get that. But there's been instances where someone will react with some level of violence in response, you know, where somebody will maybe get rough with one of these protesters trying to throw them out. And then Trump will make a comment like there was one event where he said, hey, if you want to hit that guy, I'll cover your legal bills. Don't worry about it. And maybe he's not serious with that. Maybe he's saying that in jest. I don't know. But the parallel that I'm drawing here is sometimes it's not enough to simply silently let something pass. Just like Donald Trump should at some point, and he never has that I know of, but he should at some point say, you know, I don't, I appreciate that I have such spirited supporters and whatnot, but I don't approve of violence. Either against or facilitated by my supporters. I don't want violence at my rallies. He's never really said that, and he should. It would be a perfectly reasonable, responsible thing to say. I know why he doesn't, because he doesn't want to offend the sort of alpha male loving wing of the Republican Party that loves his tough talk and his bluntness and his unapologeticness. And, you know, and I understand the attraction of all of that. But I think sometimes it ventures into an area that's it almost becomes self-parody. It becomes caricature, self-caricature. And I don't think Trump either doesn't have the self-awareness to realize that, or he just doesn't care, because he is very media savvy. Got to give him that. But sometimes it's not enough to not directly address what's going on by saying, you know, okay, I don't have any obligation to address this necessarily, but I'm going to because it's the right thing to do. And Trump fails to do that over and over again. I mean, my God, look at how he had to be dragged kicking and screaming into finally denouncing David Duke and the KKK. Remember that? So the parallel that I'm drawing is, so you have Glenn Beck, who's been very critical of Donald Trump, but for Glenn Beck to not respond to what this guy said on his show by at least saying, I don't agree with that, I don't support violence, and I just want to make that clear, he may be guilty of some of the very same behavior that he criticizes Trump for. So it's just an observation. I'm not making any hard judgments on this. I understand why Sirius suspended him. You know, for everyone who will cry, you know, it's supposed to be Glenn Beck has a First Amendment right, and this is just another example of the liberal media trying to shut up a conservative and things like that. No, look, I'm as pro First Amendment as anybody else, but SiriusXM is running a business and they have sponsors and shareholders, and you know, they have a right to suspend him. No one is saying that Glenn Beck or his guest or anyone doesn't have a First Amendment right. Look, you always have a First Amendment right. You have a First Amendment right to say whatever you want to, but that doesn't mean that there aren't consequences. That doesn't mean that your employer, if they feel that this reflects badly on them, or not employer, but someone you have a contract with in this case, Glenn Beck doesn't work for SiriusXM, but they carry his show. But, you know, that doesn't mean that somebody you're in business with can't say, hey, I'm not comfortable being in business with you if this is the kind of thing that you're going to say or condone publicly. You know, so they have every right to do what they did. Is it an overreaction? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. It seems to me it's interesting how they've been so ambiguous with this, because they've suspended the show for the rest of the week while Glenn Beck is on vacation, which is interesting. So what that ultimately amounts to then, instead of running repeats and best ofs, they just run something else in that slot while he's on vacation. That's kind of odd anyway. So I assume this incident was before he went on vacation. But they've kind of left it open-ended where they've said, we're suspending him for this week, but we're also evaluating his presence on this network. That's interesting. But then you have to wonder, too, are they also playing a little bit of a game? Because this is publicity for SiriusXM. Because they get to have it both ways, if you think about it. I have no idea if they're really plotting and planning this quite so nefariously. But it's interesting to speculate and kind of knowing a little bit about how media works. Because they can, on the one hand, SiriusXM, by suspending Glenn Beck's program for the week, they can look responsible and, you know, like they're doing something proactive about this. So they look responsible to their shareholders and their sponsors and whatnot, while at the same time, their action, them taking this action against Glenn Beck, kind of gets the story out there. And getting the story out there and perpetuating it actually may have a net benefit for SiriusXM by generating publicity, by putting it in people's minds. Hey, you know what? I want to get that SiriusXM because I want to be able to listen to the Patriot Channel, because apparently you just never know when some right winger might say something crazy sounding. So that sounds interesting to me. So they may be perpetuating the story because this kind of keeps it out there, right? It's one thing to say, I know it sounds like I'm probably overanalyzing this, but I think it's interesting. It's one thing to say from a PR standpoint, from a media standpoint, it's one thing to say, we don't like this, we've taken this action, and we're suspending his show for the week. It's another thing to say, we're suspending the show for the week and evaluating his place on our network, because that kind of keeps the story out there a little bit longer. Now, at the end of the week, it's not like the story just dies, right? Unless they announce on Friday, okay, we've made a decision. It's the end of the week. He's back next week. But by keeping it ambiguous, it keeps the story alive, because then people will wonder, will he be back next week, or have they decided to drop him completely? Or are they going to extend his suspension for one more week while they decide what to do? See, I'm always, you know, never take anything at face value when it comes to any of this stuff. I'm not saying, look, I'm probably reading way too much into it. It's probably something as simple as this guy said something reckless. Glenn Beck just in a moment where a moment of lack of judgment, didn't respond to it in the way that he should have. And now it's blown up into this whole big deal that it really didn't have to be. And it probably would have just passed unnoticed and no one would have cared. Right. But now it's a story. And it's one of those things where everyone kind of benefits from the publicity of it being a story, which is interesting, which always has to make, I mean, it always makes me wonder, you know, and knowing too, some of the stuff that goes on in radio, like in traditional terrestrial radio, like I'll just give you a quick example. I know we're running up against another break. I promise we'll get to the Trump University stuff. But there was this old scam they used to do in radio where a radio station would, maybe a band, a major band has a new album coming out and there's hasn't been a single release yet, but a radio station all of a sudden starts playing one of the tracks from the album. And we're not going to wait. We're going to go ahead and play this. And then, you know, the record company, again, this is old school stuff, but then the record company gets publicly angry at the radio station for leaking the single. And the radio station's like, well, screw you. We'll do what we want. We're a rock station. We're rebellious. And the radio station's all mad. Well, you weren't supposed to do that. And it's all a scam. The radio station and the record label coordinated the whole thing, but everyone benefits from it because it creates publicity for the song, for the artist with the new album coming out, by having this little story about the record label's fight with the radio station. And the radio station looks like this badass radio station for being rebellious and breaking the rules and playing the song early. It's all a scam. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello! Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe, the Joe Show, and we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on OMTimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Matt Connerton Unleashed. We do have a phone line open at 617-917-4476. If you would like to call or text, you can. Or you can just listen to me ramble, because I'm a rambling man. I got to ramble. Rambling man. Remember that song? Oh, Seeger? Anybody? No? Okay. So, continuing on. Trump University, my friends. Trump University. There is mounting evidence to suggest it may not be, or have been, a legitimate higher education institution. I, from the very first moment that I heard the words Trump University, I knew that it probably wasn't legit. You want to know how I figured that out? Just from hearing those words? Because a legitimate institution of higher learning would not be called Trump University. So I had this one figured out pretty early. Now, I'm not saying that means I'm smarter than everybody else who fell for this and, you know, signed up and whatnot. But it may be that I just have a little more common sense. I mean, come on, Trump University. What did anyone, who signed up for this actually believe that they were going to learn these secret money-making strategies from the Donald himself? Like Professor Trump was going to show up in a classroom and teach you how to get rich overnight with, I don't know, making giant buildings with your name on them. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of anyone who fell for this, but actually, I guess I am. But so this is an unfolding story. And, you know, I don't believe for a second that any of this is going to have any long-term effect on Trump's campaign, because, you know, as Trump himself once joked, he could shoot somebody in the middle of the street and it wouldn't matter. If you're pro-Trump today, you will be pro-Trump no matter what you learn, or no matter what he says, no matter what he does. It doesn't matter. Part of the reason for that, by the way, is that, you know, we live in, because everybody's going to believe whatever they want to anyway. If you like Trump, you're going to believe only the best about him, and you'll assume that anything bad about him is the media trying to smear him, because we live in a sort of what I call a post-truth, post-fact era. You know, I've said this on the show many times, that at least when discussing politics, specifically, there really is no such thing as truth anymore. There have been studies done, very discouraging ones, that show that when someone believes something and they're committed to that belief, even if they're given evidence and facts and data that prove them wrong, rather than changing their minds, more often than not, they'll just dig in even deeper to their false belief. So basically, what we have now is everyone, not everyone, obviously, you know, some people change and evolve and whatnot, but most people, whatever they believe, they just look at whatever facts and data will support their own pre-existing ideology. So there is no such thing as truth anymore in that regard. Everyone just believes whatever they want to believe, and if you prove them wrong, they'll just call you a liar and say, well, you obviously, you know, you're just saying that because you're a liberal, or you're just saying that because you're a conservative. And they will, they'll impugn your motive for proving them wrong before actually admitting, oh, you proved me wrong, I need to rethink that. So politically, there is no such thing as truth anymore. We live in a post-truth world, which is very sad, but that's the way it is. So there's nothing. Trump really was right. He could shoot somebody in the middle of the street, and Trump supporters would say, well, see, he was, you know, he was using his Second Amendment right. I'm sure he had a perfectly good reason for shooting that person. And you know, no one would change their mind about him. I honestly believe that. But let's look at this article again. This is the latest. There's been a series of stories about this. This is, like I said, this is kind of an ongoing story. This is kind of a slow drip. But the latest, this is from the New York Times, nytimes.com. Former Trump University workers called the school a lie and a scheme in testimony, because there has been a criminal investigation here. Or maybe not a criminal investigation, I'm sorry, but a civil investigation. Let's see. In blunt testimony revealed on Tuesday, former managers of Trump University, the for-profit school started by Donald J. Trump, portray it as an unscrupulous business that relied on high-pressure sales tactics, employed unqualified instructors, made deceptive claims, and exploited vulnerable students willing to pay tens of thousands for Mr. Trump's insights. One sales manager for Trump University, Ronald Schnackenberg, that's a fun name, Schnackenberg recounted how he was reprimanded for not pushing a financially struggling couple hard enough to sign up for a $35,000 real estate class, despite his conclusion that it would endanger their economic future. He watched with disgust, he said, as a fellow Trump University salesman persuaded the couple to purchase the class anyway. Mr. Schnackenberg wrote in his testimony, quote, "I believe that Trump University was a fraudulent scheme, and it preyed upon the elderly and uneducated to separate them from their money," unquote. For Mr. Trump, whose presidential campaign hinges on his reputation as a businessman, the newly unsealed documents offer an unflattering snapshot of his career since branching out over the past decade from building skyscrapers into endeavors that cashed in on his name to sell everything from water and steaks to ties and education. The release of the documents on Tuesday under court order was the latest turn in a federal lawsuit filed in California by dissatisfied former Trump University students that has bedeviled the businessman since 2010 and could trail him into the White House if he is elected president. Mr. Trump, who started the university in 2005, owned 93% of the now defunct company. From the start, he acted as its chief promoter rather than day-to-day manager, selling it as a tool of financial empowerment that would improve life for thousands of ordinary Americans. It would, he said, quote, "teach you better than the best business school," unquote, according to the transcript of a web video. Within the documents made public Tuesday were internal employee guides encouraging customers with little money to pay for the tuition with their credit cards. Quote, "We teach the technique of using OPM, other people's money," unquote, explained the internal instructions for salespeople. The documents pushed employees to exploit the emotions of potential customers. Quote, "Let them know you've found an answer to their problems," unquote, read confidential instructions to salespeople. The most striking documents were written testimony from former employees of Trump University who said they had become disenchanted with the university's tactics and culture. Corinne Summer, an event manager, recounted how colleagues encouraged students to open up as many credit cards as possible to pay for classes that many of them could not afford. Oh, my God. And then there is contained in the article a sample of some documents that, you know, that have come to light in these court proceedings. Let's see. Oh, there's a little bit more here. Trying to scroll down to the rest of the article. The page kind of froze up on me there. But, you know, what's unfortunate is, I mean, on the one hand, you know, hopefully people who were ripped off by this fake university will get some, you know, will get something for that. Because it does, you know, it does sound like a big scam, but like I said, it really, you know, no matter how bad it gets, it's not going to make any difference. Like I said, if you love Trump, you're going to continue to love Trump. And you see this, you know, look, you can see the same thing on the other side with Hillary. You know, this email scandal, which has also just kind of been a slow drip of more information. It just looks worse and worse. And no matter how bad it gets, and no matter how much in polling data, no matter how much it is shown over and over again, that, you know, even people who are committed to voting Democrat in the upcoming general election, they don't trust Hillary. They think she is untrustworthy. But it's not going to stop any Hillary supporters from voting for her because ultimately, you know, just like the Trump supporters will claim that it's the liberal media out to get Trump, Hillary supporters will talk about the remember that phrase from the 90s, the vast right-wing conspiracy to bring down the Clintons. I got this page to reload. Let's see if I can scroll down here. But now there's something on the page that's preventing it from fully loading for some reason. I want to see what the rest of this what the rest of these documents say. But anyway, it is up on nytimes.com if you want to see the whole article. The website's giving me a spot of trouble here. So we'll continue to watch this story. Meanwhile, you know, I did talk last week, last night on the show about over the weekend, a great alternative for you Republicans who feel disaffected and disenfranchised and are upset about Donald Trump being your presumptive nominee. There is an alternative. The Libertarian Party did nominate former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson. And his VP pick, of course, former Massachusetts Governor William Weld. And that is the ticket for the Libertarians. And what we need now, because as you guys know, I'm a big advocate for independence and a third party. What we need now is to get them to 15% in the national polls. A couple of recent polls had Gary Johnson at 10%. Another had him at 11%. We need to get them up into the 15% range. And that will get Gary Johnson a spot on the debate stage with Hillary and Trump. And that will be the first time that that's happened since 1992, when Ross Perot, who was polling very well in the polls, actually earned himself a spot on stage with George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. More Unleashed to come. We'll be right back. Got one more segment to go. Stay with me.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. As we cruise into our final segment tonight on this Tuesday evening, quickly before the webpage freezes up on me again, I want to finish this article about the testimony in this Trump University case. So where the page froze up before, someone was talking about how the university actively encouraged people to max out their credit cards in order to participate in the courses. Ms. Summer, who was mentioned in the article previously, who's a former employee of Trump University, said, quote, "It's okay, just max out just max out your credit card, unquote, she recalled the salespeople would say. Jason Nicholas, a sales executive at Trump University, recalled a deceptive pitch used to lure students that Mr. Trump would be actively involved in their education. This was not true, Mr. Nicholas testified, saying Mr. Trump was hardly involved at all. Trump University, Mr. Nicholas concluded, was a facade, a total lie. Lawyers for Mr. Trump on Tuesday challenged those characterizations, saying that the testimony of the former Trump University employees was completely discredited in depositions taken for the California lawsuit. Lawyers for Mr. Trump declined to release those depositions on Tuesday. As he has in the past, Mr. Trump argued through representatives that the complaints emanated from a small number of former students and that the vast majority had offered positive reviews of their experience. Quote, Trump University looks forward to using this evidence, along with much more, to win when the case is brought before a jury, unquote, said Hope Hicks, a spokeswoman for Mr. Trump. The court records show the role that Mr. Trump and his outsized reputation played in trying to sell the real estate classes to thousands of students. Marketing materials bearing his signature encouraged prospective students to take advantage of a downturn in the housing market to earn quick profits. He offered the kind of assurances that financial advisors have long cautioned consumers to be wary of. Mr. Trump said in one brochure, quote, how would you like to market-proof your financial future, unquote. Mr. Trump started the for-profit Trump University just as the overheated American housing market neared its peak, promising that its classes would impart his wisdom about real estate and money-making to the general public. But dozens of complaints about the school rolled into the offices of attorneys general in Florida, Texas, New York, and Illinois, officials said, prompting multiple investigations and eventually the lawsuit from former students in California. Mr. Trump had fought Tuesday's release of previously sealed documents in the case. In an apparent attempt to discredit the judge in the case, Gonzalo P. Curiel, Mr. Trump called him biased and a hater of Donald Trump, and he sought to draw attention to the judge's ethnic background. We believe Mexican, Mr. Trump said. What is that about? Why would he do that? Mr. Curiel was born in Indiana. He is of Mexican descent. Oh, I get it. In other words, Trump saying, oh, see, because of my statements about immigration, you can't trust this Mexican judge. He probably secretly hates me. That seems risky at best in terms of strategy. Wow. On Friday, in response to a legal motion filed by the Washington Post, Judge Curiel ruled that the records he released, that the records be released, some of the documents unsealed Tuesday were previously made public in connection with the other lawsuits. The internal guidebooks for employees of Trump University provide a detailed set of instructions for how to sell the classes, even to skeptical and reluctant consumers, by tapping into their psychological needs. A chart outlines the stages of the roller coaster of emotions that a buyer will experience. The blast phase, it explains, is giving your clients hope again. The probe phase, it says, must slowly bring the client back down to reality. When it comes time to selling the classes, the guidebooks have little chance. Inside the rooms where students are asked to enroll in classes, workers are asked to confirm that room temperature is no more than 68 degrees. Of course, Mr. Trump and the promise of his engagement with the school was the biggest draw of all. In the documents released Tuesday, instructors described themselves as hand-selected by Mr. Trump. But in a deposition related to the lawsuit, Mr. Trump acknowledged that he did not pick the instructors. Not all the documents made public on Tuesday were critical. Many former students said the classes delivered exactly what they had expected. Quote, Trump University definitely made me more prepared to tackle the real world of real estate investing, unquote, wrote David Wright Jr., who signed up for a six-month program. Quote, we really learned a lot from Trump University and have found a modicum of success, unquote, wrote another student, Kissy Gordon. Former employees like Miss Summer took a dimmer view of the school. In her testimony, she said she was startled by the qualifications of some Trump University instructors. Miss Summer recalled that a member of the Trump University sales team who had previously sold jewelry, was promoted to become an instructor. He had no real estate experience, she said. She added that many of the instructors had the quality that the school seemed to value most. They were skilled at high-pressure sales, she said. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. And like I said, and you know, it won't make a difference in the long run. Really quickly, something very interesting. I actually wanted to get to this on the television show today, and I didn't, so I'll hit it now, but it's something quick. I was trying to get the document open. Here we go. Katie Couric says, I regret portrayal of gun activists. This is really interesting. This came from Politico. I'll read this quickly because we're almost out of time. Katie Couric said she regrets how gun activists were portrayed in a recent documentary she narrated and produced called Under the Gun. Recent reports revealed that the documentary inserted a dramatic 8-second pause of silence when Couric asked members of the Virginia Citizens Defense League how to prevent felons or terrorists from obtaining guns if there are no background checks. In reality, members of the VCDL responded immediately, though the documentary shows them looking around at one another in silence. An executive producer of Under the Gun, as executive producer of Under the Gun, a documentary film. Oh, I'm sorry. This is her actual statement. Okay. As executive producer of Under the Gun, a documentary film that explores the epidemic of gun violence, I take responsibility for a decision that misrepresented an exchange I had with members of the Virginia Citizens Defense League. My question to the VCDL regarding the availability of convicted felons, of convicted felons and those on the terror watch list to legally obtain a gun was followed by an extended pause, making the participants appear to be speechless. When I screened an early version of the film with the director, I questioned her and the editor about the pause and was told that it was a beat. The beat was added for, as she described it, dramatic effect to give the audience a moment to consider the question. When VCDL members recently pointed out that they had, in fact, immediately answered this question, I went back and reviewed it and agree that those 8 seconds do not accurately represent their response. And that's her statement. Shortly after the documentary premiered, a blog called Ammo Land published the audio from the group interview, which showed that the VCDL did not sit in silence after Couric asked the question. The Washington Free Beacon also picked up on the story, pushing it into the mainstream. Initially, the film's director, Stephanie Sotig, took responsibility for the edit, but said her intention was, quote, to provide a pause for the viewer to have a moment to consider this important question before presenting the facts on Americans' opinions on background checks, unquote. In her statement on Sunday, Couric took full responsibility and posted the full transcript of her interaction with the VCDL members. Quote, VCDL members have a right for their answers to be shared, and so we have posted a transcript of their responses here. I regret that those 8 seconds were misleading and that I did not raise my initial concerns more vigorously. I hope we can continue to have an important conversation about reducing gun deaths in America, a goal I believe we can all agree on. So good for her for taking responsibility. You know, I mean, the, people who are pro Second Amendment, and I myself am very pro Second Amendment. You know, a lot of folks criticize the media on this for misrepresenting certain things in order to push a pro more gun control agenda. And good for Katie Couric for acknowledging that, you know, she really made a mistake here and that was very misleading. And I'm glad that she acknowledged it and is taking responsibility for it. And I wish there was more of that, you know. I wish there was less misleading and, manipulation of data and more honest reporting. But I also wish that, you know, when that did not happen, and there are clear examples of that not happening, that the people who are responsible for that not happening step up and take responsibility and say, you know what, that was a mistake. We are out of time. Thank you all for joining us tonight. By the way, if you are listening live tonight on IPM Nation 2 and, of course, OTR FM, the premium channel on the Ohm Times Radio Network, I would encourage you immediately after this show at midnight Eastern Time over on IPM Nation 1, episode 49 of our continuing saga, Angry Drunk Tales. And episode 49 could be the last episode. We never know when the series will end. It all depends on the continuing actions of our antagonist slash protagonist, Eduardo, in our story. So new episode of that tonight at midnight on IPM Nation 1, and then we'll get it up on YouTube as well, so you can peruse it at your leisure. I need to go back and watch, as soon as I get the file, tonight's TV edition, but Jen thinks that Eduardo actually called into my television show tonight and then hung up. We'll see. It's an intriguing thought. He may be listening right now. Who knows? But I've said publicly, you know, he's welcome to call in anytime. We can hash things out live on the air, but I don't think he ever will. All right. Good night, everybody. We are out of time. I will see you back here tomorrow night. Wednesday nights were exclusively on IPM Nation 2. So Matt Connerton Unleashed. And then, of course, Thursday night, we will be back on both IPM Nation 2 and OTR FM. Have a great night, and I will talk at y'all a little bit later.
Jay Faith, what's up?